Welcome to Philippa Squared, Parenting by Design, the podcast that dives deep into the heart of thriving through pregnancy, birth, and beyond. If you aspire towards exceptional parenthood and are looking to navigate the joys and challenges of raising children in our fast-paced world, you've found your tribe. I'm Philippa Scott and...
I'm Philippa Cox. Together we're Philippa Squared. Unpacking the real talk on modern parenting, peeling back the layers of its complexity from pregnancy and birth to the adventures beyond. This podcast is your guide to unraveling the nuances of parenting in today's world.
And we're keeping it real, sharing stories and having conversations with insightful guests, giving you clarity and direction on your parenting journey.
This is where your adventure begins. Transforming the challenge into a journey of wonder and joy, where you discover ways to craft your own parenthood map, not just follow the one handed down to you.
So settle in, get comfy, and let's laugh, learn, and grow into the parent you aspire to be. Welcome to Philippa Squared, Parenting by Design.
Hello and welcome to Philippa Squared Parenting by Design. You're here with myself, Philippa Scott, and my beautiful co-host, Pippa Cox. Hi, Pippa.
Hello, Philippa. How are you today?
Fabulous. Thank you. We have an exciting episode for you. So we've been chatting and we decided we'd hit record on this one because it's really important. We often talk about things in parenting. Sometimes we talk about things in pregnancy and so on. But a big topic that often comes up that impacts parenting that's also something that, you know, happens earlier is what happens when we have a medicated birth versus a physiological birth. So Pippa and I wanted to unpack this idea. First of all, Pippa is going to explain to us the difference between a physiological birth and a medicated birth. So what does that mean exactly? What places during birth can that be impacted? But also then we're going to unpack, all right, well, if we have a medicated birth, how does that impact us emotionally, socially, and mentally, as well as physically? So, you know, lots of podcasts talk about the physical side of, well, if you do this, then this happens. What about the emotional side? What about the tears and the guilt and all the other stuff that comes up when we when we're dealing with that on the other side? So, Pippa, first of all, can you explain to our listeners, please, what is physiological birth versus medical birth?
Okay, well, this is simple. Physiological birth is when you spontaneously go into labor. Your body just does it. It creates and exudes the hormones that create the contractions, and your baby is born without any medication. So without pain relief or without medicines for induction.
Very good.
So that's basically it.
Cool. So nothing to induce and nothing to speed up labor.
Exactly. And nothing to curb the pain either.
Yeah.
So that's what it is. And one of the things that is really important about this topic is that it really comes into play, not just with a choice. I mean, women have choices, and through their pregnancy, they're going to discover how they want to birth. Okay, that's through reading, and that's through talking with their midwife and with their doctors or with their doulas and with pregnancy coaches and with parenting coaches as well, Philippa. Now, but the thing is, it's not until they get to be full term, which is what, from 37 weeks to 42 weeks, that things start to tick. Now, we have this beautiful thing in our modern society. Thank you, Mr. Nagel. Dr. Nagel, who did this, a lovely man back a couple of centuries ago, who discovered that there is a formula for calculating a due date. And that has been backed up in the last 20 years with ultrasound technology. So now medically, we think we have a really, really great way to calculate a due date. And that is what I call the curse as well as the benefit of having a due date. Because, Philippa, I know you've been around the birthing space for 20-odd years. How many babies have you actually seen born on their due date?
Oh, next to none.
Exactly. I think that's, yeah, it's like statistics, 4%.
Yeah.
How many women, if they're left to go natural without an induction, birth between the 41st week and the 42nd week?
Yeah, most of them.
Exactly. If they are allowed to birth, to go into labor spontaneously without an induction. So there's actually a little bit of research out sort of questioning the actual validity of this due date, which is interesting. So there's a big movement out there about a due month.
Mm. Yeah.
It is. And so I've known so many women when they get to be in the zone of full term, what happened? They concentrate on that due date. The stress increases because either if it's consciously or subconsciously, they're targeted on that date.
Yes.
Now, Philippa, when you're fixated on something or stressed out about something, what hormone are you going to naturally secrete?
Adrenaline.
Adrenaline, yes, a flight and fight response, a sympathetic nervous system. And what hormone is adrenaline naturally antagonistic to?
Oxytocin.
Oxytocin. I'm beginning to see a bit of a pattern here.
Now, our readers probably won't see that pattern, but or our listeners. But so what Pippa is saying is that oxytocin is what's required for labor to progress and begin, and it doesn't work. It cannot operate when adrenaline is in action. So adrenaline stops oxytocin from working, which means that labor can't either begin or get established or keep going, etc.
Exactly. It's like you're on a road trip. Like when you're on this beautiful road trip, you've got your great beautiful convertible Mustang. You are so happy because you're on it. Your life is going to be changing. You're so excited because you're going to meet your baby in this car. You're driving along the highway and then bang, you hit a wall, a great big stop sign that says adrenaline. Mm. And there's lots of things happening on that wall and you can't get past. Interesting, isn't it? So it does. It pays a lot on a woman's psyche when it comes to that pointy bit. Yeah. And I remember I was telling you this before when I was working in another state in Australia in an antenatal clinic. I'm not going to name anything just to protect everything there. I had so many women every day coming into my clinic crying because I didn't want to be induced. They were crying and it was because they'd heard awful stories about it and they didn't want it, or they'd been induced before and they didn't want it again.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really interesting. So when it comes to that pointy end, the pointy end of pregnancy, I should say, around the 37, 38, 39, 40-week mark, is that it's always, how do you feel?
Mm.
How do you feel? This is where that self-awareness and that real connection with your body and your baby comes into play. That you've worked on that entire pregnancy, where you're really getting to know yourself and connecting on such a deep, deep level with your baby. knowing exactly what time of day they flutter, they move, what time of day that they're not moving. The fact that when I have something to eat, oh, they like ice cream. When I eat ice cream, they move around a lot. That type of stuff. That beautiful getting to know them. And that trust, that deep trust you can have within yourself as a human being, as a woman, as a mother. I mean, that's something you've experienced, isn't it?
Yeah. And you know, what's interesting, I think that trust piece is what comes up a lot, I think, in the repercussions. So, you know, just kind of coming back to this idea of medicated versus unmedicated birth, or physiological birth versus medicated. There are times out there when having those medications saves lives, and we are not denying that at all. But what we are wanting to just explore is this idea that those medications have repercussions that are physiological, but also mental and emotional. And one of them is trust. So when we don't trust ourselves, and when we don't have a good relationship with our body, with our baby, with our care providers, there can be a lack of trust. And when we choose something like an induction because we don't trust our body to do what it's meant to do, we're setting ourselves up for considerable issues within our parenting. So if we don't trust our instinct, if we don't trust our body, then how do we trust our body to breastfeed? How do we trust our body to co-sleep? How do we trust our body to react with good instincts when something's wrong with our baby? How do we trust our parenting instinct if right from the very get-go, we don't trust our body to even birth our baby or even go into labor to birth our baby, the very first part of that? And so there's this setup, right, where when we take away and we assume that the woman's body doesn't work, and this is the same is true for pain relief, right? All of the research out there around epidurals is based on the assumption that we need to save women from the pain of childbirth and that women cannot handle it. And so we need to save them from themselves. And so that's the primary understanding that is there for all the research, is that, well, they couldn't possibly do it without. So we're just gauging on how good it is, as opposed to what's the difference between not having it at all and having it, and women being able to do this thing. And again, that comes back to trust. And that I have a bit of an issue with TENS machines, and I know that a lot of women love TENS machines, but for TENS machines to be effective during labor, you need to put them on before you really need them. And the assumption is that you need some help and support, right? So before you even need it, you're assuming that you need it, even though you don't yet need it. But in order for it to be effective, you're putting it on early. Now, lots of women rave about them, and that's fine. I've never actually had a client who's used one, because the assumption has always been you can do it without it. And if you're wanting to have a natural physiological birth, then why assume you can't? You know, I remember my first natural birth. I got into hospital ready to push, and I didn't have any water therapy. I didn't have anything. There was nothing. I had absolutely nothing, not even a hot shower. I just did that all with just counter pressure. So, you know, my doula and my husband doing some counter pressure, and that was it. Posterior baby, first VBAC, counter pressure, nothing else. And in my third and fourth births, I did use a birthing pool. So I had that water therapy there, and that was magic. Only thing I ever did, loved that. But I was using it because I wanted to have my baby born in the water. I didn't really think about it as And I wanted to avoid the tearing that I had with baby number two, which was my first vagina birth. And I knew that water would help support that. So when I went into the water, it wasn't about, I can't do this without the water therapy, because I'd already done it without water therapy. I'd done it without heat therapy, all of that stuff. So I knew I could. I just wanted that support for my perineum. I wanted the support for my joints. And I wanted to birth that baby in water, so it was a nice, gentle, easy transition and I could catch myself. So when we set ourselves up to with an induction, or where do we set ourselves up with pain relief and those sorts of things, we're assuming we can't before we even get started.
But not just that, Philippa, it's also the fear of my placenta's breaking down, the fear that my baby might be compromised.
Yeah.
And so when women are dealing with that and dealing with, I don't know what to do because I can't trust myself.
Yeah.
What can we do? Well, it's really interesting where the induction rate has increased so much in the last 10 years.
Have you got some ideas there for us, Pippa?
Oh, they're in here somewhere.
Well, while you're thinking about that, I actually did some research for a client recently, and I was looking into the different rates of stillbirth, because they talk about these rates being double at a certain point yep. and so on, right? Yep. Like, and yep. double 0.02 to double point, like double that, and it's 0.04. So again, doubled. Right?
Probability, though, 0.02 to 0.04, it's doubled.
Certainly, but probability is still low, right? So possibility versus probability. I've said this before, but there's a possibility I could get on the moon one day. The probability, though, is very, very low, especially because I don't actually have any desire to do that. So we look at that. But interestingly, with new research coming out, it actually shows us that the risk of stillbirth actually goes down. It's lower at 42 weeks than it is at 37 weeks.
Yeah.
Because
there are a lot less births. But it just goes to show you.
Yeah, on a percentage base, it's still lower, right?
Yeah. It just goes to show you. I just find that really quite fascinating. And I've seen it in practice where women hold these statistics to give them an informed decision-making platform, that your rate of stillbirth doubles after 40 weeks. I mean, when you say that, of course you're going to contract. And then you unpack the statistics. And when you realize that those statistics have very few ways to control those confounding factors, so the health of every woman, where, what age is the woman, did they have any complications during pregnancy, all of those, they're really, really hard to measure in statistics. And this is why with statistics, they're great for guides. They're brilliant for guides for decision making, but not for gospel.
Yes, yes, yeah, and especially when the rates are so low to begin with, you know.
Okay, I've got the rates.
Go.
So induction has increased from, and this is in Australia, from 26% of all pregnant women at term in 2004. To 44% in 2021.
Yeah.
26% to 44% in 16 years. And the outcomes any better for mother or for baby?
Yeah. There's a higher C-section rate though, right?
Yeah. Yeah. There's 38% C-section rate now.
Yeah. Yep. And look, and I gave birth in 2003, having been induced, and then in 2004 gave birth again without being induced. But I had to I had to fight and argue really hard to get the birth that I wanted even back then. And it's really interesting that we talk about medicated versus unmedicated as a purely physiological thing, but it's not purely physiological. It impacts our life and our decision making and where we make our decisions from for potentially the entire rest of our parenting career and our life. If we don't trust ourselves, if we feel like we're not enough, we're not good enough, we have guilt, all of those other things, they're going to impact every other area of our life.
Yeah. And particularly, as you're saying, Philippa, I cannot go into labor. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
I have never, ever, ever seen a woman not go into labor naturally.
Yeah.
Ever throughout the world in my 20-year career. It just doesn't happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Of course you go into labor. And I was just going to say something really important then, Philippa, and I forgot. But you go on.
You're doing amazing.
I'll get off my soapbox and you can get on your soapbox, okay? Oh, that's what I was talking about. That's what I was. So it's not only about the impact it has on us as women and us as mothers and us as leaders in our family and in our community, because that's essentially what a mother is, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Totally, 100%. Love you guys. It's people forget about this beautiful little bundle of joy that is inside us.
Yeah.
Now, there's a growing body of research that talks about, first of all, I'm going to put my hand up here. As far as I'm aware, there might be new science out there somewhere that I haven't read, but we still don't know what exactly causes labor.
Yes.
We know the hormones involved, both with us. We know it's prostaglandins, relaxin, oxytocin. We know for the baby that their stress hormones, their cortisol goes up as well in preparation for labor. But we don't know the exact cause of labor, which I find is really fascinating. Number one, tick, go for this beautiful, lovely spiritual birth.
Sarah Buckley talks about hoping that we never find out so that we can't mess with it.
I love Sarah Buckley. She's so good, isn't she? For people that don't know her, she is an Australian academic and just absolutely an incredible woman and researcher. Oh, yeah. But what we do know is that the hormones that the babies secrete in preparation for labor and during labor set them up for life. Because when you're looking at it, our birth, each individual birth is going to be the hardest thing we will ever do in our lives.
Mm.
So, moms, you think you're having a hard time. Just imagine your little baby's head is being squashed in a vice.
Yeah.
And it is a human condition and a human rite of passage. No pun intended. Pun very well intended, actually. So we don't know what causes labor, and yet we do know that all of this physiological process, this natural process of spontaneously going into labor, it prepares not only us as mothers, but the baby as well for life.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm just going to let that sit there so people can actually take that in.
Because
In my experience, we kind of forget about that baby, don't we? I don't know about your experience.
Well, we do, but we don't, right? So everything is designed. You know, we're told that we need to have this induction so we don't have a dead baby. And we make our decision thinking that we're doing it for the baby, but we're not actually seeing the whole picture for the baby. So most of us will make that decision sometimes we'll make a decision based on our own comfort at the end of labor, at the end of a pregnancy, because it can be really, really uncomfortable, especially with children running around. It can be a really uncomfortable time. So sometimes we make that based on our own comfort. But a lot of women don't. A lot of women make that decision based on what they've been scared into believing about what they're risking for their child. And So what we, you know, we're thinking about our child, but we're only thinking about one aspect, the aspect we've been told by the our care provider often, and not actually about what are the other implications. What are the implications if we do nothing? And what don't we know about this scenario versus what we do know, and really having a holistic perspective on that. And as a birth trauma therapist, I can't tell you how many people I work with who've had their, when it's, this isn't about, so sometimes obviously most of my clients, it's their birth or the birth of their children that we're working on. But I get people who come to me whose own birth was traumatic. So it was, there was trauma when they were born themselves. And so they carry the implications of that forward throughout the rest of their life. And, you know, often we're not thinking on that emotional level of what impact is this having on the infant for the rest of their life when we induce, when we use forceps, when we create a situation where it's a potentially life-threatening event. And being in distress during labor, that shows us that that baby is not okay with what we've done to them or with what's going on for them. And those rates are higher when we have medicated induction and augmentation or speeding up of labor. Those in, you know, distress rates are high.
Because you're forcing nature. When does nature get to be forced?
Yeah.
You know, nature's nature.
Yeah. So it's not just about, you know, saying, okay, well, yeah, because it doesn't make sense really to induce and then augment a labor to bring a baby on quicker to reduce the rates of, you know, distress or harm for baby if we're actually putting them in more harm's way by doing the induction because of what actually happens to them and how, you know, how much oxygen they're receiving and all of those sorts of things during an augmented labor. So really, if we look at this from a more holistic perspective, it's not just about what happens physiologically, but how does that carry on emotionally, mentally, and later into our, as parents, our lives, but also that child. And
yeah, exactly. And like you said before, it's a big thing is getting to know ourselves. Really getting to know ourselves and who we are and spending time listening to our body and listening to our minds and just noticing what we're noticing.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing is that from what I've seen in my practice, when women know themselves, when they know their values, they know what they stand for, they know all their stuff, and they're really aware of their bodies, they trust themselves, they trust their instincts. And unfortunately, in today's society where we're living outside of our bodies because everybody is so busy, it's like a badge of honor, like we were talking about before, Philippa.
Yeah.
It is, we're so busy that we don't spend time knowing ourselves because we're busy figuring it all out outside. Yeah. And then we put our trust in the medical profession, and the medical profession in childbirth has saved lives. Cesarean section is a life-saving operation. It has saved lives. And induction has saved lives. If someone has preeclampsia at 37 weeks, their life and their baby's life has been spared because of this medical intervention.
Yeah.
Which is fantastic. However, we're using it, is in my opinion, and I know it is reverberated around a lot of circles, is that we're using it a little bit too much and we're taking power away from the individual woman and replacing it in people that don't really know us. Because, you know, in your 20-year career and my 20-year career, God, it's 40 years, thousands of births. And guess what? Every single birth is different. Every single pregnancy is different.
Yeah.
So there is not one fit for all.
No.
So one of the things I really want to end with before I get off my soapbox and you can get back on yours, Philippa, is take this time out to really figure yourself out. Take a breath. Nurture yourself. You're having a baby. Oh my gosh, that is an incredible privilege.
Mm.
An incredible privilege. Mm. And so take time out and honor that and honor you as a woman.
Yeah.
Because you know what to do. Consciously, maybe, but unconsciously, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. Perfect.
Perfect. Perfect. Thank you, Pippa. Well, that's our soapbox for today.
Yes, soapbox.
So we look forward to speaking with you next week. You know where to find Pippa and I. The show notes contain both our websites. So please, if you've got questions, you want to talk through things, you want some coaching, you want to do some birth fear release, or you're looking to do a birth plan, or whatever the case may be, please reach out, because that's what we're here for. We're here to help you take it to the next level, to really get a handle on who you are and what you do and how you can maximize your chances of having the birth that you would like to have. So, you know,
and be the mother you also want to be.
That's
right. You know, you are.
Yeah.
You are capable of in this world.
Perfect. So thanks again, Pippa. It's always a pleasure. And we'll see you next week, folks. Bye for now.